Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. And we got a very special guest, but I've got a very special co-host, the one and only Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm good. We're probably about 30 feet away from each other, but we can't hear each other, so that's good. And we've got a great guest on. I've got one of my most fondest memories of a student at the college, Nick, and I have to tell you that. And, you know, we had some very good discussions in our day when you're at school. We got Dr. Nick Nelson coming at us from Edmonton, Canada, north of the border. Welcome, Dr. Nick.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to see your great faces again, and great to meet up and be able to be associated with such a great crew.
I love it. Thank you, brother. Let me tell our audience a little bit about you, because I think it's important. You graduated in 2018, December of 18, literally. And I know that you're looking to go and work with Dr. Heidi Havoc over in New Zealand when you were finishing school, but there were visa issues and all kinds of stuff. And it's probably a good thing, you know, because when COVID hit, you would have been stuck on that island for 2 years, whatever, you know.
I never thought about the universe
always has a way of taking care of you. You never thought about that, did you?
Not till this moment.
Somebody was looking after you. And then you went straight home. You went to Edmonton. That's your hometown. And I remember our talks. You knew you were going to go start your own practice. And, man, you did it quickly. You know, April 15th of 2019, jumped into your practice. Been at it ever since. You know, you just had your sixth anniversary just recently, and just doing amazing stuff. And I got to tell you, you know, Edmonton is blessed to have you. But there's other things that Dr. Nick is doing that, you know, maybe people don't know about. Number one, he's a best-selling author. He wrote a book called Inner Alchemy. It's phenomenal. I read it. It's phenomenal. We'll put a link down below that you guys can be able to look at it. He also, and besides his office that he has in the same building, he started on April 1st. And I love that date, by the way, you know, not just for April Fools, because, you know, we're not going to fool anybody with this.
Nope.
He started something called the Alternative Health Collective, where he's got his chiropractic office, you know, and he's seeing a lot of people, but he started this Alternative Health Collective where if people need other things that are alternative, that's where they're going to go. And I love that, man. I think it's great. It's cool. It's separated. They get chiropractic where you are. They can go over and get other stuff and inter-referrals and all kinds of things. And it's all natural and everything's just right there. It's just great. And the last thing I just want to share with our audience is two things is Dr. Nick is just starting his speaking, his speaking gig, where he's already invited to 6 different events that he'll be speaking at. And that's great that you're getting out in the world. You know, 6 years in practice is cool. And now you're going to be a best-selling author. Now you're gonna be able to get out and share that with chiropractors and hopefully lay people also. And I think probably his biggest accomplishment will happen in August, was when he gets married to his bride-to-be, Melissa. So that's going to be the biggest thing, man, because that's, you know, it's family trumps everything. So anyways, yeah. Brother, good to have you. Wonderful to see you. And let's jump in. Let's get going. Mary, yeah. You always ask the first question.
Because I love this question. It's like I would ask you this question anyway. And it's not just as simple as how did you find chiropractic? It's how did chiropractic find you? Because most people's stories kind of feel more that way. It resonates a little bit more. So I want to hear that story and just like how chiropractic found you. And most importantly for me, I love like the inflection point. Like, was there the moment? I want to know if there was like a spark that went off where you were like, this is for me.
Well, the way you phrase it actually makes me add a little bit extra to the story I've never really added prior, but the classic version of that story when asked by patients and friends is I never was a school person. I hated school growing up. I didn't do well in school because I just basically avoided going. As soon as I graduated, I went into the personal training realm in the fitness industry because I was good at that and I was an athlete. And that over 6 years led me to understanding how the body worked, but also understanding how much I didn't know yet. And I had been going to a chiropractor since I was 9 years old. And the amount of times I'd gone to a medical doctor in my life, you know, thankfully, were very low. And my chiropractor was my guy. He kept me running through every sport that I played. I knew I was good with my hands and I knew that I was good at applying that to the body. So it became a natural transition into that. So as I went back to school, I started learning more about neurology and psychology as well. And the neurology of the body started to fascinate me. So I was kind of on the decision of going into medicine to become something in neurology or a neurosurgeon or going into chiropractic. Unfortunately, my mom got sick and the first, or I guess 3 years of my undergrad or 4 years of my undergrad, she was sick. And we spent a lot of time in hospitals and around classic medicine. And I learned very quickly that I didn't want to be part of that. And I did not want to have a career in the realm of those rooms. So went back into the chiropractic route full force. It wasn't until I got to grad school, though, that I truly learned that chiropractic did choose me and not the other way around, because everything that I had become interested in personally, whether it's neurology or philosophy or mysticism or any of these things, they all coalesced inside of chiropractic and I had no idea. And so it became this aha moment, as you said, where everything that I studied and I wanted to do, I now realize that I get to apply neurology with my hands every single day and actually make those changes through the chiropractic realm.
Absolutely.
And the body side, pardon?
I said, absolutely. You know, yeah. It's just how that meld is right in, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and I didn't know that. I never, you know, listen, me and you had a lot of conversations, but I didn't know that I knew you were a neuro geek, you know, because, yeah. You know, you wanted to go study with Heidi and do that stuff. But man, what a beautiful transition. And probably, you know, and I, you know, watching what your mom was going through on that, on the other side, you know, not that that was bad, but of course we don't want to, I'm talking about the situation in the hospital thing, you know, the application process, right? Man, that's incredible.
Yeah. And then it actually wasn't until I graduated that, Mary, how you had phrased that, the chiropractic choosing me, there's a little part of that that's quite unique for me. And I'm sure you know, and most of the people listening to this know of the symbol of chiropractic, the man with his arms out and there's wings. I have that literal thing tattooed on my back since I was 16 years old. The only thing it doesn't have is that sash that says chiropractic.
Yeah.
And my first ever email that I ever had was DC_Messenger, because DC Shoes and Messenger was a song of a band I liked, but lo and behold, now I'm out trying to spread the DC message to the world. So I do.
You better believe in signs.
Yeah, that's it definitely makes me feel like, man, I didn't have a choice this whole time as much as I thought I did.
Wow.
You just got the message late.
Exactly, yeah.
That is incredible, man. That's amazing. Wow, that is amazing. And it doesn't even amaze me, because Nick, I know you and I know, you know, how you draw things into your life and what, you know, and hopefully I'll be able to touch on something as you're in your student day. But I want to jump into your book, man, because, you know, not so much your book, but the message, you know, mm-hmm. in your book, because it is so, they're just poetic justice. I think that's the right words to say in what you wrote. You know, mm-hmm. because you just talked about such truthful, you know, analogies and how, you know, how we heal and everything else around it. You know, talk to us about the message. Like, what was the main thing that kind of got you moving through it?
Well, I mean, I knew I wanted to be a writer before I went to grad school. And then all of the things I studied in undergrad were philosophies and studying the human body from every level, metaphysical, you know, quantum physics, holographic theory, all of those things motivated me in the younger years of schooling. But it was through chiropractic school that they all weaved their way into a cohesive story. And for me, I had spent, everybody was out partying or having fun and doing all these things in grad school, and I was always sitting by my vehicle reading a book, trying to bring in as much of what I call the parallel curriculum as I can. And what I started to find is that all of these fascinating things that absolutely changed my perception of the human experience, they existed in books individually out in the world if you knew where to hunt them down and you knew where to find them. But nowhere was there a book that brought them all together into a cohesive story that the average person can actually take in, digest, and use. And so chiropractic philosophy and science was the backbone of that. And that gave me the foundation to stack everything else on. But the biggest message and underlying message of the book is that it's time to understand our bodies and reclaim our health. Because the more we know, the more we are able to advocate for ourselves. And I think that it's more important now than ever that people take responsibility for that themselves and have a resource that they can learn some high-level understanding of the body in a way that doesn't make their eyes cross and make them fall asleep. It's something that's designed to communicate very strong and scientifically deep perspectives in a way that is palpable and digestible so that the average person can take it away and use it. Yeah.
So who did you have in mind when you wrote the book?
Well, I mean, one of the biggest reasons that I have in the front page that I wrote it for my parents. My mom was my biggest reason. Seeing how the medical establishment failed her multiple times over, and even her other practitioners, like the chiropractor that was treating her at the time, nobody gave her the information to be able to understand how to work through this in a way that was different from what she was just being led down. And unfortunately, myself at the time, I also didn't know enough. I was just starting grad school. So I knew enough to know that the things that were being done weren't right and that there was another way, but I didn't know what that was. So my mom's always been a big motivation for me on this, and just wanting to make sure. And this is how I open my practice, is that everybody that comes through my door, whether they're male, female, old, or young, I see them as my mom and they're my family because they're somebody's family. And it's just as important for them as it is everyone else that they're treated with the utmost dignity and given the most amount of hope and ability to persevere no matter what their situation.
Wow.
That is so powerful.
That's really amazing.
That is so powerful.
I mean, how can you not give great care if you see everyone as your mom? We used to tell our staff, we had difficult patients who came into our practice, and I always say, just see God in everyone. I like yours better.
I mean, they're both useful. There's definitely been times I had somebody I remember that came into my practice that I went home and I called Melissa, or because we weren't living together at the time, and I said, I think God was just in my practice. And like, you know how Jesus talks about that we are in the humblest of people. So, when people come in that don't have proper means and maybe don't have, all of the things going the way that you would, it's not the easiest person to have in your clinic, but that was one that I thought for sure that that individual was somebody else, and there was a reason that he was there.
And truthfully, they all are, aren't they?
Exactly.
Right. I mean,
Everybody who walks in.
we could go down a rabbit hole with that, but yes, that
But when we talk about, like, because I love what you say, and especially, taking responsibility for our health, right?
true.
And really learning truly what health is and where it comes from. We could tell a story, and we do in chiropractic, we lecture to people, we might have health talks, we put out blogs, we do, whatever we do, right? Instagram or whatever it is. But to really teach somebody that they actually get it, that health comes from within, that they really truly get it. And it doesn't mean that, natural is the only thing, right? But you always start natural, right? And then you move forward. And the world would change, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah,
Because
we have such a different foundation that we could all stand on that makes sense and that is quite powerful, and it would avoid so many quick jumps into other means that have side effects or have other unwanted things that come with it. But I think the most powerful part is that perception shift in people where if, like you said, they don't just hear you, but if they finally get it, it's a lens that comes off. And I talk about this in the book, Choose Your Lens Carefully. But it's a totally, you're putting on a different pair of glasses and immediately everything looks different. And you can use that so well to navigate life once you get it. Yeah.
So I have a question. Obviously you have a successful practice. When people come in the office, like how do you educate them and how do you tell your story? Is it more of a like that you have classes? Is it that day to day you're constantly giving them information? Like if I came into your office, like what's your educational? And I know educational sounds a little too square.
Yeah.
You seem like more of a heart guy, but like what's your approach to educating people on this new way of life or taking off the lenses?
I think the biggest kind of takeaway is originally it's rapport. So the way I've built my practice is unlike any practice I have seen, and I got to be careful with that because in Alberta, I got in trouble for saying my practice was a unique environment. I'm not allowed to say that. I have guitars on the wall. I have local art. I have motorcycles in the clinic. I have everything that expresses me as a person so that anyone that walks in that room, whether I'm in the room or not, knows who I am. It's a way of disarming and being able to bring them into an environment that they are now there to talk to somebody instead of in a medical institution where their guard is up and they're. And then from there, my big thing is establishing, meeting people where they're at. So if I have an engineer in my office, then we talk structure, we talk engineering. If I have somebody that's very into new age or more of the spiritual side, then the chiropractic philosophy is something we can dive into deeply. So my biggest thing is first and foremost, be so good that they can't ignore you is my kind of premise with how I practice. I want to provide a level of care that everybody that comes in is impressed with and leaves there thinking, what else does he have to say? What else does he have to think? So that it's no longer a me talking at people. It's a conversation that happens genuinely and everybody's different. So I meet them where they're at. And over time, as I build those relationships, more topics are covered. Having the book and having the Alternative Health Collective and having my YouTube channel, they're all different means to get to people in different ways. But I think the biggest magic happens through just the day-to-day consistent conversation.
Yeah. I like what you said, being so good that they can't ignore you,
Yeah.
And I'm going to share something. And, man, when you were in school, because I'd see you every night. You were busy in the health center. You were super busy, probably one of the busiest people in there at the time. And every time I'd walk out, if I'd see you, and Nick, truth, you always had a suit on.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Always. Man, and your hair was short, and you were like, you looked like you were ready to go on TV, kind of thing, But you always stood out. And I believe you were kind of living that without the skill set, because mm-hmm. you're a student, right? You're still an intern, right? And you could be as great as you can be, but you were living that, be so good that they couldn't ignore you. No one could ignore you
mm-hmm.
in the health center because of just how you dressed, and that you stood out. It's exactly what you were just saying. And there's a million ways to do it, but I was always so impressed by that. Literally always impressed. Every time I saw, I was like, man, that guy's sharp, every single time. And you were either grabbing patients from the reception area or doing whatever, and I'm leaving my office and walking out. I had to walk by there. I mean, you were living that motto even there.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything I've done has been very purposeful. And, the image that is cultivated in that environment was a purposeful image that set me to a place of professionalism and a place of everybody, student, patient, other student, teacher, everybody knew I was there and I was serious. And there was no, this guy isn't messing around. He's not here because mom and dad paid for it. He's not here because it's easy. I was there to become the best I could be. And, into this environment here, the suit and tie when I started clinic here, that very quickly in my environment in Edmonton did not really go well. It made people feel more put off. There was more of a barrier. So again, over time, image is cultivated based on, and I always think you kind of have to earn your weird points. You know, you can't come out of the gate just completely, you know, weird, long hair, like not looking the part, right? But when you build something that you earn that through production and through proving yourself, then all of a sudden those things actually start to work for you down the road, because, you know, every rock star or every, you know, famous individual has something about them that's a little different from the rest. And those end up becoming something that helps, I think. So I think being purposeful has always been part of the methodology for me.
I love it. And look who you're attracting too, you know? I mean, like you just said earlier, you know, people who come into your practice, they get to see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it totally disarmed. They get to see you authentically, right? They get to see you. And then the message that you expel, right, is like, you know, they're going to hear it because they're hearing you, not somebody else or an image or whatever. They're seeing you. And it's a mm-hmm. huge message. Huge.
Yeah.
And I have a question. I love that about just like what Ron talked about, how you wore suits and it's like it was an image. And I love that. It was like you had a purpose. And do you think this characteristic is teachable? Like, is this something for young docs to be listening to, or even students at this point? Do you think it's a teachable quality, or is it just something in you that you were like, that's just what I wanted to do?
I think it's definitely teachable. I think there's some innate aspect to it. I've always been artistic, and no matter what style I've ever worn in my life, I wore nail polish for 15 years and I was still the point guard of the basketball team. And, you know, every single one of my friends was a popular jock kid, and I was just a punk skater, but I still was in the same circles. So I think that there is an innate level of it, but it's absolutely teachable, because the biggest thing is, you know, even though I was wearing a suit in that time and I don't wear a suit now, both of them were still genuine. Neither of them looked put on. Neither of them was put on. It's different sides to our own character perspective. And I think that teaching people that ability and I think the biggest thing is teaching them that, like, do you want to be the best or do you not? And how are you going to cultivate something that allows you to have that persona, that edge, that foot forward? And I think that a business model in terms of basing it off of authenticity would be a fantastic way of starting that, because everyone would be different. If I, you know, were to coach chiropractors into this, I would not have a set wear a suit when you're in grad school, you cut your hair short, you grow your hair long. It would be different for everyone. And I think that is the beauty of it, is teaching them how to tap into themselves and realize what aspects of them can set them apart and use those positively.
Yeah. And, you know, and a big lesson in that, Nick, is that, I mean, even when we were coaching people, you know, if someone was always just stuck in one mode, we'd say, switch it. Mary and I, we would turn the tables in our office. Like, literally, we take the head, we flip it, you know? So where the head piece was, it was now where the foot was, right? We just flipped the table, you know, 180. And people would still, this is how unconscious people are. They would still come in and they'd lay with their nose being smushed where the feet were, right? You know, true, Mary? I mean, they're on autopilot. And sometimes it just takes flipping things around. Or they'd say to us, well, why is it like that? And we'd say, well, the healing energy is flowing opposite today. So, you know, we would just say whatever we'd say to open them up. But even DCs, you know, we tell DCs, you know, look at, man, if you're always doing this one thing, then switch it. You know, if you're attached to your beard and long hair, cut it. Because it's not who you are, right?
Yeah.
It's who you present, but it's not who you are. And
I was going to say, I love what you said, just like you're being authentic, whether you have short hair, long hair, right? Like, it's just like your message is loud and clear, which is like, just be authentically. And I hate that word because I feel like it was so overused by everybody, but I can't think of another word right now for you, but it's like, be authentically you, whatever that is. Like, I'm a grandmother right now who loves kindness, but I also have tattoos. Right? I've had people come in and practice and say, I would never date a woman with tattoos. I go, really? Because I have tattoos. And they go, oh, well then, oh, I get, like, it blew their mind. They were just like, oh, I would never expect you to have tattoos. Or if I tell people, yeah, I had my kids at home, and they're like, but you wear makeup, but you wear makeup. I didn't think you were that type of person. It's like, just be authentically you, right?
Yeah.
But what I hear about you, you have a strong purpose too. Like, it's very clear.
For sure. Yeah. And I think that, sorry, go ahead, Ron.
You go.
Well, I was just saying that you had mentioned something about if you're attached to your beard and your hair, then shave it. And interestingly, in first or second year grad school there, I actually did shave my head for the first time ever for that exact reason. It was a ritualistic kind of detachment from all things that made my persona and wanting to learn how to navigate through by not having those aids. And I think that was something that I did on purpose to try and make sure that genuineness that I present is actually me and not just any of the things around it. But as you were saying, Mary, the purpose is the most important thing for everything. It's, you know, when you have your why, then everything you do has a strategic reason. So whether it seems like you're moving left or right or forward or backwards, if you know where you're going and why, then you know that every one of those moves is still going to get you there. And you're learning from each one of them to just push yourself further forward.
I love it. I love it. So true. All right,
that's
buddy.
That's a mic drop moment.
Boom. Just mic drop. Both of us. 4 mic drops, 6 mic drops. All right, we got a couple questions to ask you. We're wrapping up. Innate response, first thing that hits you. It can change tomorrow. It can change when we hang up, when we get off this webcast. You know, it doesn't matter, right? I'm doing the first question, Mary.
Okay.
All right, Nick, you're speaking. Dr. Nick, right now, is speaking to Nick, who's just in his first day of chiropractic college. What advice would you give yourself?
Build a parallel curriculum. I talk about that one all the time. At the amount of times people would sit in their library studying so hard for finals and stress themselves out staying up, read a book, read something that actually fills the gaps in a way that allows you to understand it better.
Love it.
Wow.
Love it. That's great. I've never heard that. That is great.
Yeah, that's a new one.
That is great.
Yeah. Okay. Second question. Same exact question, just different time frame. Okay. Now you've graduated LifeWest. Now you're a full-fledged doctor. You're a chiropractor. Now you're standing in front of yourself with all of your knowledge and wisdom that you have today. Now, what would you say to yourself? What advice would you give yourself?
Stay focused and don't let ego come in too quick. Every time things start to grow or things start to move in a good direction, just take a second and make sure you check and ask yourself, is this aligned with my purpose?
Love it. I love it.
Wow.
Yeah, the boundary, right?
Good.
Or the compass, boom, you know?
Exactly.
That's the one question you can ask yourself, right? Is this aligned with my purpose, you know? You know, if it is, keep going. If it's not, change, you know?
And I still do that every single day. That's something I, you know, you get offers for, you know, appearances or marketing or being part of a you know, a group of referral networks. You always got to base it off of your purpose. So I think it's something that no matter how long you've been doing it, that's still important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nick, I am inspired, man. I just have to tell you, you know, the book, you know, speaking at the college, you know, both our campuses, all the things that you're doing and just booming, changing the health of Edmonton, you know, your purpose, your passion, you know, what you're doing and your inner directedness is probably the most inspiring thing that I see, that you're living your life from the inside. And it's just beautiful. Yeah, it's our time to go, man. But I tell you what, it's our time as a profession to go. And it makes me feel good, Mary, knowing that, you know, that there's docs like Nick out there who are going to be, boom, you know, leading the way and taking stuff. So thank you, brother. Thank you for being with us today.
As I say, we could tell that you're making an impact now, but I can't wait to watch the impact you make, that you continue to make, because I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to our audience, thank you. You know, thanks for coming week in and week out. You know, these are our Life by Life Wests. Every other week, you know, we drop the Life West leadership line. You know, we're constantly coming at you. We've got great information. You know, I don't care how many years you are in practice or and if I do care if you're a student, this is great stuff. So listen to this again. Share it with someone you know that might just need that little extra boost or whatever it might be, because Dr. Nick dropped tons of pearls of wisdom, and you know, it's just great. So I can't say enough, man. I'm really inspired. I am. For Dr. Nick, for Dr.
Yeah.
Barry, for myself, we're going to bid you adieu. We want you to never forget that you are more powerful on the inside than you were that you were ever led to believe, all of us, and keep spreading that message, empowering people to make allow them to see the greatness within them so that we can change this planet and create a brighter future for humanity. So until next time, from the three of us, we will say goodbye. Love and appreciate you. See you at the next Life by Life West. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.